Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Pran Govind Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Verse 12. Before going to that, I'll hand out the call to Sureshwar Prabhuji to give brief introduction of Pran Govind Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, please take our call, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. His Grace Pran Govind Prabhuji was born in 1962 in East Pakistan. His maternal grandfather was a follower of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Prabhuji had the pleasure of experiencing Vaishnava festivals and dramas, which led him to the desire to be a Vaishnava from a very early age. In 1971, Prabhuji attended a lecture that Srila Prabhupada was giving in Deshapriya Park and saw Western devotees for the first time. In 1977, while visiting a cousin in West Bengal, he overheard a neighbor enthusiastically talk about the ISKCON temple in Mayapur, which made him to visit the temple where he met Raghav Pandit Prabhu. In 1978, Prabhuji moved to Vrindavan, where he met His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, and Maharaj encouraged him to preach while he was young and returned to Vrindavan for bhajan when he got old. He then took initiation. He follows His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. In 1980s, Prabhuji focused on book distribution in Calcutta, managing the guest house in Mayapur, managing the Gaur Purnima festival, facilitating prasadam and accommodations for GBCs, sannyasis, devotees and life members. Prabhuji also served as a life member director and fundraiser for Mayapur temple. He then traveled with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj to Europe and Asia. Since 2003, His Grace Pran Govind Prabhuji has been living and serving at the Alajpa temple by giving Krishna Katha and counseling devotees daily in overcoming their challenges in spiritual path. Recently, His Grace Pran Govind Prabhu has been engaged in translating Mana Shiksha for Her Grace Urmila Mataji and is planning to take sannyas to progress further in devotion. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna Pran Govind Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us in this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Mother Vardhana, no, Vardhana. Please accept my obeisances, all the Prabhus and Mothers. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So I would like to sing for 1-2 minutes and then start. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana, Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana, Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Ramo Ramo Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ramo Hare Ramo. Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Gurudev Gurudev Jaya Jaya Gurudev Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Gaur Brahmanande Hari Hari Om Jaya Om Vishnu Patra Om Samari Parajana Charya Shatara Shat Sisima Srila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantagudi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Guru Parampara Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Class Ki Jai Bhakti Japa Sangha Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Bhagavatam Srutakari Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Nami. Sthi Shashi Nive Bhavani Pachanini Visheshashuna Vali Paschati Deshadaya. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, Prabhus and mothers, first of all, I'm very grateful to be here with all of you. It is a privilege that association that glorifies Krishna. Because glorifying Krishna, parasparam anukatham, pavanam bhagavad jasho, it automatically, glorifying Krishna automatically purifies our consciousness. And when our consciousness purifies or transformation takes place, then natural respect to the other Vaishnavas, friendship to the peers and affection for the juniors develops. And that's how we develop a very wonderful community, Hare Krishna community or ISKCON devotees. And by the influence and prayers of all of you, the devotees, when that friendship develops, our desperate hankering for material enjoyment will go down. And then we are completely situated in spiritual sense. So with that note, we're going to begin today serving Bhagavatam chapter 5th canto chapter 17 text 12. So before we begin to invoke the mercy of our consciousness known as Sri Vasudev, the son of Vasudev and Devaki. So please join together, join your palm together and in your meditative subtle body, you can evoke the mercy of the Lord by reciting three times. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maybe one person can recite also with me, so I know I'm audible and you are getting it. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naran Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhijaye Nasta Prayesu Abhadresu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before I began reciting this, I found something I never heard, that Srila Prabhupada actually was asked by one of his Sanskrit scholar that what is the most important verse in Bhagavatam? And he quoted a verse I never would think, but only Prabhupada knows such a hidden secret, I guess. Of course, I'm sure all of you probably thinking many verses about dharma prajjita kaitavatra. Yes, that is very important. Ete changso kalapungso. Yes, that is also paribhashya sutra. How can you say not? Janma adi asya. Yes, that is also. All these verses are important. But Prabhupada says something very interesting on that day. This is in 1975, July 13th in Philadelphia. You can listen from the Vedabase, and Prabhupada was asked by his scholar devotee, what is the most important verse? So he quoted this 1.2.9 Srimad Bhagavatam. 1.2.9. So I would like to make everybody to repeat after me. This is because it's so important to Prabhupada, it should be important to all of us. So please repeat after me. Nice to see you, Mother Komodeki Devi Dasi. I will never forget that you have given so much affection and prasadam and rest shelter when I visited your place a few years back. Thank you. And your husband, wonderful devotee. So please repeat after me. 1.2.9, those who are into Vedabase, you can always check those. Dharmasya
Dharmasya
Apavargasya
Apavargasya
Na Artha
Na Artha
Arthaya Upakalpate
Arthaya Upakalpate
Na Arthasya
Na Arthasya
Dharma Eka Antasya
Dharma Eka Antasya
Kama Labhaya Hismitaha
Kama Labhaya Hismitaha.
That's very nice. Thank you. You all are wonderful. You just read my mind. I was just thinking about somebody would put it. Paramatma is, you are must be connected with Paramatma. So the translation, would somebody like to, I will just read the translation. All occupational engagement are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Such a wonderful. So today actually it is relevant to this verse, today's verse also. For an example, you can close this, Mata. For an example, like when we ask, what do we need to come to bhakti? Or what is the main component? You may say Shraddha, faith. That is true. Where do you get faith? I generally thought all these years, faith you get from a devotee. But if you look at Bhagavad Gita 4.10, Prabhupada said, faith, Shraddha means you have to have a preliminary desire for self-realization. In other words, then I found in Bhagavad Gita, there is two ways you get faith. One is your own desire and by the mercy of Vaishnava. We generally think Vaishnava's mercy is very important. In 11th canto, Krishna says, actually, when you are in human body, your strong desire to come back to him is, he's going to give you faith. How he's going to give you faith, you can ask him, he'll let you know, Lord Krishna. So this is a two way. One is you, each of us has to desire to go back home. Each of us has to desire to please Krishna. Each of us has to desire to chant, to serve him, and mercy also, both. Prabhupada mercy, also our own endeavor, both together. Okay, with that note, we'll begin today's sloka. And this is not a poetry form, so I'm going to just read it because I don't know how to rhyme it. Esha purushanam ayuto purusha ayu barshanam devakalpanam naga ayuto prananam vajra samhana bala vaya moda pramoditas mahasuratha mithuna veha vevaya apabharga varsha drita eka garva kalantaranam kalatranam tatra tu treta juga samaha treta juga kala vartate. So we all can read together word to word meaning, because word to word meaning has some significance also. Esha, in these eight varshas, so I hope everybody is familiar. You are following this every day. There's a nine varsha, and the middle of the Jambudip is called Ilabriti varsha, and there is an eight varsha around it. So we are not talking about the center. We are talking about, actually, we are not talking about the Bharat varsha. We are talking about the other, beside this planet, the other eight planets, we call middle planetary system. Sometimes it calls Bhumandala, sometimes it's called the sun reflected middle planetary system. Many definition given, but we are talking about the eight varshas except the Karma Mayam, or where you buy ticket, I call karma. So it says that in these eight varshas or tract of land, okay, Purushanam, of all the men, Ayuta 10,000, Purusha by the measure of man, Ayu Varshanam, of those whose years of life, Deva Kalpanam, who are like the demigods, Naga Ayuta Prananam, having the strength of 10,000 elephants. Vajra Sanghanana, the body is as solid as thunderbolt. Bala, by bodily strength. Baya, by yod. Modo, by abundant sense enjoyment. Pramodita, being excited. Mahasaurata, a great deal of sexual. Mithuna, combination of man and woman. Jovana apavarga, at the end of their period of sexual enjoyment. Varsha, in the last year. Drita eka garba, who conceive one child. Kalatranam, of those who have wives. Tatra, they are tu bat. Treta juga samaha, exactly like treta juga, when there is no tribulation. Kala, time, vartate, exist. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In these 8 varshas or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both man and woman enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of a man, of the human beings who live during Treta Yuga. Okay, and then we'll break the purport into 2 parts. We'll read it after we pray for Mangala Acharan, because we'll discuss the purport a little more. So please join together to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Varga. You can offer flower to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all the Guru Parampara, everyone, while we are praying. This is a very most important to meditate on the lotus feet of our Guru Parampara. Om Ajnati Mirandhasa Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshuritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovishta
Stapitam Yena Bhutate
Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadadisha Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Tahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sadotam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunnavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvesha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavibho Namo Namam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So there is a 2 part of the purport, what I thought of focusing this morning. This morning when I was reading, first part is four yogas, and the second part is what is all life about it in relation to sex, why it is such a big deal. Even in Bhagavatam, Amala Puran, faultless Purana, so many pages, almost every chapter has these topics. How to see it or perceive that. So first part I'm going to read. There are four yogas. Satya Yoga, Treta Yoga, Dwapara Yoga and Kali Yoga. During the first yoga, Satya Yoga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced the mystic yoga system for spiritual understanding and realization of God. Because everyone was always absorbed in samadhi, no one was interested in material sense enjoyment. During Treta Yuga, I hope you pay attention, he said everyone in Satya Yuga was absorbed in samadhi, no one was interested in material sense enjoyment. We'll discuss that line. During Treta Yuga, people enjoyed sense pleasure without tribulations. Material miseries began in Dwapara Yuga, but they are not very stringent. Stringent material miseries really began from the advent of Kali Yuga. Then Prabhupada writes, another point in this verse is that in all eight of these heavenly verses, although men and women enjoy, okay, the heavenly verses means it's also called Bhoma Sarga. So I'm going to discuss first paragraph about four yugas. What I understand by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how this yoga is divided? Is it like a timer Krishna put in a timer? Hello, it is Kali Yuga. Hello, it is Treta Yuga. Not like this. It is by the consciousness of the people. When in your own family, I give you an example, what I understand. In your own family, if you have four people in your house, three of them are interested in spiritual life and one of them, no interest. You are in a Treta Yuga. Oh, Prabhu, you are in Kali Yuga. Yes, but that's how actually it all began. I'm going to come back. If you have out of four in your house, just like one devotee called me other day, says my parents are not interested in spiritual life, but I am interested in spiritual life. I want to go near the temple, something like this. So this is relevant. You may see out of four person in your family, two person are very much supportive in Krishna consciousness and two are not. So you are in Dwapara Yuga. If you have a four person, you are the only one in Krishna consciousness and the rest three are not. You are in a early of Kali Yuga, not end of Kali Yuga, early of Kali Yuga. End of Kali Yuga means nothing will remain spiritual, where Kalki avatar will come. Now that's one angle to look at it. Another angle to look at it also, that this is a very secret. We are very fortunate to be born in a human form after Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prabhupada. Because these two personality emphasize and stretches this point. Just imagine your heart where consciousness emanates, where desire produces. Heart where Krishna is sitting there, but you are also there, but there is a wall called false ego. But overall, the heart is like a lotus. Now you are born in beginning of creation, your heart, it's like a budding form. Nobody has any clue. You don't have a clue what is love of Godhead and how to get it. There is no such discussion in the beginning of creation. Now, as the time Saptayuga, or you can say Prahlad Maharaj's time, that lotus flower so covered, it took the form of there is a petals. You can call budding form. But nobody knows the flower, but they can see some sign that there is something looking for. Just like an animal versus us, or tree versus animal, or tree versus us. In a hot sun, trees are forced to stay and get dried, burned. But if it was me, I would run immediately for a shade or somewhere to survive. On the basis of happiness, the soul in Saptayuga, yes, were meditative, as Prabhupada says. But as for love of Godhead, they are in a budding form. As the time passes, they were more thoughtful. And as the, you can say, all the way Saptayuga, Prahlad Maharaj's time to Vyasdev, who appeared 5,000 years back by the grace of Parashar Muni, a great well-wisher of all of us, we bow down to his lotus feet. At that time, the Veda manifested and started giving the secret of purpose. What purpose drives your life? Ask this question. What purpose drives my life? This is started from Vyasdev's appearance. And he began explaining. Of course, his conclusion is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, when the four Acharya came, this, your heart, in a form of blossoming, started blooming little bit. Some fragrance is coming. Some color is visible. Oh, life purpose is bhakti. Oh, bhakti. What is bhakti? Anna, vilashita, shunyam, all these verses. Very nice. No, sorry, that time it was not anna, vilashita, shunyam. It will be sarvopadi binirmuktam tat pratana nirmalam. Rishikesho, rishikenos. So those verses you can say are like a little blooming on the heart. Ultimate destiny or ultimate purpose that driving the heart. When Mahaprabhu came, this heart actually blossomed completely, fully bloomed, you can say, fully bloomed. So from the audience, I need an answer. Would you like to take bath in Saptayuga, nobody stealing, nobody, no crime. Everybody is peaceful. Everybody is happy. Everybody is religious. You know, there is no atheist talk. Or you want to take birth in a now Kali Yuga where crime, drug, I don't know. You know better than probably me. All these things are prevalent. Can somebody answer me? From the audience.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Nam Prabhuji.
Dandavat, Subhilas Das.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I think it would be better to take birth in Satyuga than Kali Yuga.
That is from the calculation of your environment, social.
Yes.
But your heart ultimate desire will never be fulfilled until you come to Mahaprabhu's time.
Yes.
Krishna consciousness. I hope everybody remembers. Krishna consciousness in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu explained. Vajje Vishav Jalamay Bhitare Anandamay Krishna Premer Adbhut Charitra. The characteristics of Krishna consciousness that you will have a trouble outside all the time. I give you an example. I'm trying not to be disturbed. I went to Mangal Arati and I organized there a little bit who is going to give class and you know the, who is going to play the Govinda Mantra just to make sure everything is okay, the deity or what's. Then I have to rush to Sannas ministry meeting and I'm already 2 minutes late, but some or other Maharajas, they are very nice. So I had a 1 hour meeting, then another hour discussion, and then I have a 25 minutes to catch up this. I'm thinking like, my mind is thinking, can there be a little break in between an hour or something to have a little snacks or something? No, we should be joyful that we are engaged in that. From the material comfort, it is not comfortable. I see that. But spiritual thriving, what goal we can get in this life, you could never get in Satya Yuga or Dwapar Yuga or Treta Yuga. Now you tell me, what do you want, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, surely in Kali Yuga, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and holy name, Krishna's Hare Krishna Mahamantra we are having. So it would be better in Kali Yuga.
Very good. Thank you. I hope everybody agrees. If not, you can raise your hand later on. We can talk about it. So now, in Satya Yuga resident, they used to taste. Just by hearing about God, they would taste it. Now in our temple, I'm being honest to you. I hope none of you have our experience, but I do experience. Kirtan time, everybody is there. As soon as the class began, 50% left. Where did they go? Prasadam or talk outside. When the class began, Bhagavatam class or Bhagavad Gita class, very less, almost half. Why? Because they do not find some taste at their level. So what is that required in Satya Yuga they had, in Kali Yuga we don't have? So I'll give you reference, Bhagavatam 12.3.27. Those who are, because I'm not going to discuss two details, but just give a little hint, key point. In Satya Yuga, they would taste just by hearing. They don't need even to eat or sleep. You think sometimes when you are exhausted, you sleep is a very enjoyment. Yes, for this body. That's true. But in Satya Yuga, they didn't need to sleep to enjoy. They would just hear about or do some austerity. Because they would do this, they could taste it. In Kali Yuga, you cannot have. But in the purport, I noticed Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in Kali Yuga, if you don't have a sex desire, if you can reduce your bodily demand, you can taste the Harikatha. So I hope you remember what we need in Kali Yuga. Then is possible. Now, in four yuga, there is 4 lakhs of dharma, duty. The dharma, tapa, tapasya, satya yuga was 100%. Treta yuga, 75%. Dwapar yuga, 50%. Kali yuga, no percent. Or I don't know what is that means. Means nobody like to do tapasya. Now you may say, oh, Prabhu, what about this Bhakti Japa Sangha group? They are like so constant every day, so consistent, so I would say determined, because they are elevated. They are not belongs to Kali Yuga. They are in Kali Yuga, but not touched by Kali Yuga, the devotees. So that's how we have to see it. Now, in Satya Yuga, okay, certain thing I don't have to tell you. You heard it probably, what kind of Bhagavan's incarnation appeared. Those are all given. I'm going to give you something maybe you did not hear. What are the 4 yugas? Somebody from the audience, help me. What are the names of the 4 yugas?
Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga.
Okay. But that's not exactly correct. What you said is known. We know that how. But you look at in 1.4.14, Prabhupada explained. Actually, it should be Satta Eka means one, Dwapara means two, Treta means three, and Kali comes to four. So Satta Dwapara Treta Kali. But because it is a consciousness evolution, Srila Prabhupada gives an example. When the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadev was born to Parashar in the womb of Satyavati, daughter of Basu. Then Prabhupada explained there was a chronological order of the four millennium. Satya, Dwapara, Treta, Kali. But sometimes there is an overlapping. Why? So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explained that Gautam Muni cursed Ahalla because of her affair with Indra. Because she was so desperate to not get hurt from her husband and really ultimately progress in spiritual path, her appeal softened the heart of Gautam Rishi. And he says, well, I cursed you that you will be in the rock body, but you can meet the Lord in Treta Yuga. But Treta will be after two millennium.
Mm.
So she said, this is too far, my Lord, please, please, please. Then, of course, he's a sage also, great sage. He's a devotee, Gautam Rishi. He said, all right, my dear, you did a mistake. Your punishment will be cut into half. So he actually switched the yoga. Can you imagine? The yoga can be switched by the those great yogis. Yes, because it is all consciousness evolution. It is not just the timer, you know, no person behind. It is all person behind. So that's why Satya, then Dwapara, then Treta, then Kali. Should be, but it became Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. Okay, that's the one. Now let me ask one more question. The audience, please help me. When deity worship began, supposed to be the Yuga Dharma? Kali Yuga Dharma is Nama Sankirtan. What Dharma in Treta Yuga?
Treta Yuga.
Who said that?
Dwapara.
Dwapara, very good. But just to let you know, actually it started in Treta Yuga. You can look at in Bhagavatam 7.14.39. Srila Prabhupada said, it is not the duty dharma by the age. It is by the need. Can you remember this? It is by the need, out of compassion. So Prabhupada writes, when the great sages, saintly persons saw the mutual disrespect dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with the paraphernalia. When Kanishta disrespect pure devotee, then establish deity worship. I hope all the householder, you have your deity in your house. It is necessary. For a sannyasi, deity in their heart. But if you are not grihastha or sannyasi, don't pretend. Be realistic. Keep a deity every day. You bow down, you offer everything. Okay. Is there a Kali avatar, Kalki avatar? And when Kalki avatar comes? Somebody help me from the audience.
End of Kali Yuga.
End of Kali Yuga. Very good answer. That's true. But you know what? If you look at the Prabhupada's explanation, it's in Nectar of Devotion chapter 22, 58, and also Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also he gave a lecture. I count few other. It is when nobody's interested even to argue about God. In your house, if you have a neighbor or your relative, I'm not attacking anybody, I hope. Please forgive me. That's not my intention. If you see, they have no interest even to mention the name of God. I confronted like this one professor. He told me, I grew up, my parents is now, they are Catholic originally. My mother said, no need to go to church. Father said, forget it. There is no such thing called God. We don't discuss anymore. That's it. Done. And when the child is born, this professor told me, they never heard. He heard it from his friend and other, but never went to church. That is called Kali Yuga, and Kalki Avatar will be there. Kalki only comes when nobody has any interest for Krishna. Okay, I think I have done enough discussion. Now, in your daily practice of sadhana, how this four yuga apply right now in your life? When you are chanting and you have some temptation or some bad memory or all these things coming, it could be daytime, but actually you are still in dark. Dawn, you know, when sun rises, before sun rises, dawn. Dawn means all this bad thought has to go away. This is what Mahaprabhu's highest gift in Kali Yuga as a devotee you can get. That all the... Now, I'll make sure I covered this part. You are not responsible for a bad thought that comes or within you. But you are responsible... Definitely you are responsible for their dominance on you. If you contemplate, you are thinking to be attentive to that, whatever it is, sinful activities or whatever, four regulative breaking, you are in Kali Yuga. But you are not bothered by this four regulative temptation, anything. You are not in Kali Yuga. Only you can check, nobody else. I beg all of you, do not become judgmental or sentimental. Be transcendental always. Sorry, someone was saying something? Okay. With that note.
Hari Bol.
Oh, Mother Ishopanishad. Yes, Mother.
Hare Krishna. I had a couple questions in reference to Kali Yuga. And you had made a comment about, or a point about, in the yugas, they can be changed. They don't have to go in order, because the great sages that be, they have the ability to change.
Yes.
So do we have to have Kali Yuga? You know, does there have to be a time when people are not interested in Krishna?
Well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. If you have a relative who is not interested in God at all, but you know that person is an eternal servant at the constitutional level, his ultimate happiness is to unite with God. But he's not interested to talk, and nobody can talk in the house. Anybody talks, he's going to blaspheme and throw them out of the house. If that person got sick and really got so frightened, he started thinking of God. If that sickness is bad or good to him?
That's a good thing.
Ah, so you're answering your own question. Apply this into the Kali Yuga.
Jai, Haribo.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
You are welcome, Mata. Nice to hear from you.
Jai.
I hope everybody knows Mother Ishopanishad. He was a classmate of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, but then became a disciple. Sounds like a Arjuna to Krishna. Very nice. Thank you. So we are going to go to the second part, because Kali Yuga has so many discussions, but we'll go to the second part about sex. Let's see where the verse is. Oh, no. Here. Okay, thank you, Mata. That was very nice. So the second part of the Prabhupada's comment, another point in this verse, would somebody like to read instead of me?
Sure, I'll read.
Okay.
Another point in this verse is that in all eight of these heavenly varsas, although men and women enjoy sex pleasure, there is no pregnancy. Pregnancy takes place only in lower grade life. For example, animals like dogs and hogs become pregnant twice a year, and each time they beget at least half a dozen offspring. Even lower species of life, such as snakes, give birth to hundreds of young at one time. This verse informs us that in grades of life higher than ours, pregnancy occurs once in a lifetime. People still have sex life, but there is no pregnancy. In the spiritual world, people are not very attracted to sex life due to their exalted devotional attitude. Practically speaking, there is no sex life in the spiritual world, but even if sometimes it does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. On the planet Earth, however, human beings do become pregnant, although the tendency is to avoid having children. In this sinful age of Kali, people have even taken to the process of killing the child in the womb. This is a most degraded practice. It can only perpetuate the miserable material conditions of those who perform it.
Very good. Thank you, Mother. So this is very nice part of the purport. My question is, where exactly is sex desire located? In the body or in the soul? Anybody knows?
Body.
In the soul.
In the soul. In the soul, in the body. Well, one of them has to be right.
Well, how about a combination? It's in the body, but when the soul identifies with the body.
Wow.
Then
if I would give you three more options, you probably cover all of them. Okay. The soul, the definition of sex, what we think of, it is not in the soul. Soul has a component like genital, vagina, you can say that in their spiritual form. But the sex, what we think, that draw pleasure. Now, Mother, whoever is hosting, if you have I'll just mention it. It is in Bhagavatam 2.6.8. See what Srila Prabhupada talks. Prabhupada's purport is so wonderful. We feel like to cry for Prabhupada. Well, because he has done such a wonderful, remove all our doubts. We just have to find it where the source is. Prabhupada writes, what is the sex actually we think of sex? The genital and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distresses of family circumbrances. One should cease to generate altogether if they are not by the grace of the Lord. A coating, like a layer. A coating, a pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generating organs. Generative organ means on your vagina or a genital, there is a little coating is given. And guess who is the in charge of that? Anybody would like to guess from the audience? You are not in charge. It is within your physical body, but somebody else in charge.
Shukra.
Daksha. Oh, Mother Elisha from England. Very good. So, Daksha is the in charge. You think you are enjoying. Actually, you are allowed to experience this. It will be horrible if you really start seeing him every time you think of sex. Like, oh, somebody in between. That's not good. That's how it is. So this substance, Prabhupada writes, gives a pleasure so intense that it counteracts fully the distress of family burdens. Anybody knows what family burdens is? You ask some grown-up man and woman when they're married after 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you ask them, what is family burdens? Is there such thing? They will explain you better than me. So this family burdens goes away. How? By this sex pleasure, Prabhupada says. So because of this coating, a person is so captivated by this pleasure-giving substance that he is not satisfied by begetting a single child, but increase the number of the children with great risk in regard to maintain them. Simply for the pleasure-giving substance. This pleasure-giving substance is not false. However, this is very important. Because it's originated from the transcendental body of the Lord. In other words, the pleasure-giving substance is a reality, but it has taken on an aspect of pervertedness on account of material contamination. In the material world, sex life is the cause of many distresses on account of material contact. Therefore, sex life in the material world should not be encouraged beyond the necessity. There is a necessity for generating progeny even in the material world, but such generation of children must be carried out with full responsibility for spiritual value. The spiritual values of life can be realized in the human form of material existence. And the human being must adopt family planning with reference to the context of spiritual values and not otherwise. The degraded form of family restriction by use of contraceptives, etc., is the grossest type of material contamination. Materialists who use these devices want to fully utilize the pleasure potency of the coating on the genital by artificial means without knowing the spiritual importance. And without knowledge of spiritual values, the less intelligent man tries to utilize only the material sense pleasure of the genitals. Now you may say, is this talking about the human only in this planet? No. The whole material world runs by that. Now, why it's so much talk? Because this is the only one thing, if you slowly, slowly minimize, not tomorrow, gradually, like Prabhupada told Shamsundar Prabhu, who was curbing Jagannath with smoking, full pack. Prabhupada did not say, what a horrible, how can you curb a Jagannath? No. He says, don't let something comes in between you and Krishna. How many you smoke? Say one pack a day. Prabhupada say, how about half pack a day? Then after a month, maybe quarter pack. Then only 3 cigars a day and then 2 cigars a day and then 1 cigar and then no more cigarette. So gradually, you have to come to diminish the, it is not the sex desire. What is the most punishable, most obstacle is the attraction, the charmingness. I cannot live without it. This idea is going to destroy spiritual life. Not destroy, I would not say that. It would minimize our growth. Bodily needs you supply, but you do not obsess on it. I hope everybody heard this. Obsession will stop your spiritual growth. You will come back after 10 years. I don't see any difference. 10 years before and now. That's not a good sign. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says every Ekadashi day you're supposed to reflect and see, am I progressing or not? So this is very important. I hope I'm repeating the same thing. Bodily needs, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, whatever you need, you supply. Do not be obsessed on it. This is what's going to be dangerous. Now, as for the happiness in spiritual life versus material life, I'm going to give a very quick, because of the time, very quick GPS. Please buckle your seatbelt and let's go. There is a verse, if you want to know more, Madhulila 9.117. Siddhantastu abhedapi Srisha Krishna sarupaya rasena utkrishyate Krishna rupamesha rasa sthiti. Because in this whole canto is nothing but a different level of happiness, sense enjoyment, the whole creation. We'll go through this whole month, maybe. Maybe 1 month or few months, I'm not sure. Yeah, a few months, up to 26th chapter, hell, suffering. So I'm going to ask you, if anybody from the audience, if you have 7 things, then you know what is the highest happiness as a human being. Unless you have 7 things, don't raise your hand. First, you are the only ruler of the world. Oh, you're feeling depressed. Don't be depressed. Just see it. If you are the only ruler of the world, second, you have all the ministers, all your commander general. Oh, my things are off. What is, okay. I was thinking, where am I in this? And the second is that, what did I say? First is you are the only ruler of the world. Second, all your ministers, commander chief, they are in love with you. You know, in love means they will never be your betrayer. You know, king has a bad minister in India. When I was a child, they used to call Mir Jafar. I don't know if anybody ever heard the name Mir Jafar. Mir Jafar means who betrays the boss. Spy, you know, spy in your own house. Bibhishan in Ravana's kingdom. Of course, that is a good example. But something like that. So you don't have that. Third, you know, fully aware of Veda knowledge, that if there is any nature disaster, you can counter, engaging the Brahmanas to counter. Fourth, you have enough wealth in your disposition that anytime you need, you can pull out gold, whatever, money or whatever need. So I hope somebody keep tracks. Fifth, you don't have any enemy. You can have 1,000 friends. Oh, you have one more friend, 1,001. It's not a big deal, but you have one enemy and you have 1,000 friends. 1,000 friends is not important anymore. Why this guy is against me, or why this Mataji is against me, whatever. One enemy disturbs the mind. Even you have 1,000 friends, does not satisfy. So you have to have all these 5. And 2 more things you need to experience the highest happiness as a human being. Somebody help me from the audience. 2 more things. I have a doubt you will be, because the devotees, they lose the taste as a karmi enjoyer. So you may not focus. If I ask a demon, he will tell you. But you are not. So it's difficult. But still, can you pretend like you are an enjoyer of this material world? You have 5 things I mentioned. 2 more things you need. Come on.
Did you mention wealth? Did you mention wealth already?
Yes.
Children.
Yes, Mother Sri. Mother Sri Laka, yes.
This
good family and children.
That you have, but something related to you. I'm talking about you enjoying. Yes, that is also true.
Beauty.
I mean, whatever you are born, you are born. You're not going to look for.
Okay.
Something what you can have.
Is the everlasting.
What is it?
Is the everlasting, no death.
Ah, long life. Very good. This is good. One more thing, the last one.
Long life.
Good health, long life is good, but something more. If I tell you, you'll say, oh, I knew this. A tremendous desire to enjoy. You may have a good body, good health, but you don't have an interest to enjoy. What kind of enjoyment you will have? Tremendous desire to enjoy. It makes sense? Now, if you have all these seven things, then you know what is human enjoyment in this planet right now. Where this coming from? Rupa Goswami's words explaining this. Now, if you multiply that enjoyment 100 times, then you will know that today's purport. It says there is a three sarga, celestial, terrestrial, like we say in Sanskrit, Dibba sarga, Billa sarga, and in the middle, Bhoma sarga, in the middle planetary system. So you multiply 100 times the happiness of a man who has all these seven things, that much enjoyment they are getting. I hope everybody understood. Today's purport talking about that. You multiply 100 times of their enjoyment, then you will know what the enjoyment in Dibba Sarga, Indra's heaven. Sorry, I went too far. Pitri Lokananda. In the forefather planet, what kind of enjoyment? And you multiply 100 times, I'm giving you a very short, and one day we'll discuss these details in one. And you multiply 100, you know what the demigod enjoyment. You multiply 100, you know what the enjoyment in the Prajapati, like Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, then Sattaloka. They don't have to work hard. If they want to enjoy sex desire, they can create a person. Mataji can create a Prabhu and Prabhu can create a Mataji just like this. Just by saying it, that person is born, no grown up, no baby to growing, just born as a young. After you enjoy, you can say no more, the person is dead. Whenever you enjoy, you can literally create and they die. And there is nothing seen or bad. That's how it is, the enjoyment. If you go multiply 100 times more, you come to Brahmaloka. You multiply 100 times more, then you know what is the Brahmananda margin. Wow, we are glorifying Brahmananda. That's scary. We are not supposed to glorify Brahmananda. But we have to glorify Brahmananda in that sense. Prabhupada translate on that verse. I'm just going to end with that. If you multiply, I hope everybody remembers this, 1,000 trillion times. Anybody has any idea what I just say? 1,000 trillion times of Brahmananda, that is Sevananda, what we are looking for. And we will get that. To get that, you have to give up the sense enjoyment as little as possible. Just to maintain the body, you maintain it. Is this worth it? Someone, please answer me.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Nitya Narasingha Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful answer. Okay, so I'll end here. If anybody has any question or further discussion.
Hare Krishna, Dharmat Panam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have a question. Prabhuji, as you said that sexual desire is basically related to the body. But actually, I think it's the desire of soul to enjoy this world. And being an enjoyer, we want to enjoy female also. And that desire to become an enjoyer, that is coming from the soul. I have a little bit confusion in that. Please, Prabhuji, please clear this.
This is very funny. Okay, sure. Now, you know, recently there is a Ekadashi that one of the Ekadashi pastime about the ghost getting married. And ghosts, that they don't have a physical body. You are right. They don't have a physical body, but they have a strong desire to enjoy sex. So how to understand that? Yes. what you said is true. I'm going to give you a sequence. I hope you can remember. This is so important in our spiritual path. I'm making a little chart, but I haven't finished yet. I just didn't have time. First thing is developed is a misuse of free will. Where the sex desire coming, we'll discuss that after, you'll see. First thing is misuse of free will. Misuse of free will caused us allure activities. Well, no, apathy to devotional service. Misuse of free will caused apathy to devotional service. And apathy to devotional service caused us loneliness, distress, depression, which further took a place, false ego appear. We got attracted by the allure activities of Maya. You have no idea how to enjoy material world, but you lost the taste, disconnected with the spiritual happiness. So what happened? Then Maya started giving you this allurement, and false ego going to accommodate. False ego means the ego that binds you between the soul consciousness, conscious being, and dead matter. Dead matter means subtle and gross mind and the physical on that point, this separate interest was the birthplace of this sex desire. Where this come from? It is in Radha Krishna, reflected. Srila Prabhupada also said in Brahma Sangita, very nicely explained this, text 8, Brahma Sangita verse 8. You can read details about it. So nicely explained that, yes, we understand from scripture that the desire to enjoy separate from Krishna is the root of material existence. And that is called kama. Kama sometimes translated as a sex desire or separate interest from God, but it's the same thing. Sure, characteristics of conditioned soul, as you said, is true. Then it manifests as gross attraction for the body of opposite sex. I'm not going to give you the whole story of ghost because there's a long story. But in ghost planet, you know, there is no animal in the ghost planet. They are all human. When animal get accidental kill, they don't become ghosts. I hope you all know that. But when human voluntarily kill themselves or suicide or whatever, intentionally, they become the ghost. And I'm sure one day I mentioned, I hope somebody can answer me, who become the leader of the ghost planet. Maybe that should scare us. Somebody knows, can help us?
Shiva? Mohan Prabhu?
Guruji, Brahma Rakshas.
Brahma Rakshas. Okay, who are the Brahma Rakshas?
Guruji, Brahma Rakshas are the jivas who are in the caste of Brahmins, or are devotees who are not following the rules and regulations strictly, but are doing bad things. And when they die, they come in the body of Brahma Rakshas.
Mohan Prabhu, you are half right, but be careful. Do not ever repeat like that. Devotee will be very depressed. Now, when devotee die, they don't become Brahma Rakshas. But as a devotee, if he kills himself, his body, due to some material depression or wife or husband left, whatever, instead of keep on growing, practicing, if they kill themselves, destroy this body, then they become Brahma Rakshas. Is that clear, Mohan Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
So we have to remember that devotee's life is never lost. But if devotee destroy his body or her body, they will become punished for some time. Jayapataka Maharaj, actually, that's where I learned originally, and then I traced it, I found in Brahmavivartha Purana also. Jayapataka Maharaj was saying this because there was the one devotee hang himself in Mayapur in my time. And it was a little shocking near kitchen, main kitchen. So, back to this, that for example, you know, ghost doesn't have a gross body, as I mentioned. Still, they have a male and female human. A man try to fulfill their sex desire. But it is not possible. So that's why ghost attack the other body. Everybody understand that? They attack the animal body to have a sex with the female or male. Or they attack the drunk human body to enjoy the bodily enjoyment. So there is a frustration. And of course, devotee, they don't get drunk. I hope not, never. And they don't allow the other ghost to take their body to enjoy this. So I hope that gives you some understanding where it is. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, I don't want to take the subject off, but when you were discussing about how a devotee becomes or a person develops a ghost body, I lost my thought here, but I'm thinking I can come back to it. But, you know, that's the only way you can become a ghost is to have a, is to do something that's derogative towards the body, right? I mean, you know, killing yourself is the only way that that can happen, right? You can't become a ghost no other way. Is that the only way that you can become a ghost?
Yeah, immature time. Krishna gave you a time frame. Say you live for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I will live for 100 years now. If I kill myself because my spouse left or something happened, then next 50 years I have to hover as a ghost. Unless Bhagavatam is recited, Gokarna story is there, where can be delivered, but how many actually doing it? Very difficult.
Yeah.
Unless somebody cares for me, if I kill myself, somebody cares for me so much that he or she will do the Bhagavatam. I did for someone, and believe or not, I am in America, and back of our house, while we're doing this, literally whole tree split.
Mm.
I was like, no thunder, no rain, there was normal weather. And till today, devotees remembered. You do 7 days Bhagavatam, literally you can actually invite the ghost. If you care for this, for a person who really, by mistake he did commit, then you can deliver. Otherwise, there is no chance. They have to be ghost.
So even, this is probably a good subject for another topic, another time, but so the only way that a person, this period, is to kill themselves. That's the only way you become a ghost? Is that the only way?
Immature time, yes.
So the reason we have ghosts is because of immature timing of death.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam. Who is speaking?
I'm Valli Prabhuji. I'm from Chicago, near Nepal. So
yes, Mother.
I just have a question, because immature death, does it also occur due to any accident or sudden death, or is it only to suicide?
That's a very interesting question.
Because I see regularly people like in some other accident or some driving or something, mm-hmm. they pass away maturely before their.
I believe it's in the second canto, third chapter, 23, Prabhupada did talk about ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned this, that how I could relate. Many years back, I used to do, I'll come back to your answering, but I used to do Aarti Puja on my personal deity beside temple. And so, And every time I would do the arati, the squirrel, for no reason, would bang on the, like a jumping from one roof to another roof, and just some or other, it was very noisy. And after finish the blowing conchal, they gone, disappear. But then I read this, that's why I remember that page, that chapter, second canto, third chapter, 23rd. And Prabhupada says that they create disturbance. They have no respect to the pure devotees and nor for Vishnu deity in the temple. They create a fearful situation, disturbed situation, and the ghost. Now, how the ghost has a connection with the squirrel? Squirrel is not doing it. Is the ghost attack the squirrel body? They take over. It's like a, you move the driver from the car. I hope nobody, I'm not suggesting this, but nobody ever does that. But just imagine you are driving next to the driver. You just got so angry, you push him out and you drive. Or you put him back in the back of the car and you drive. Something like that. In the movie, I remember from in a childhood, I saw one movie, how bad guy enter and take over the driving. So something like this also. Now, accidental, the word accidental, there is no such thing called accidental in one sense. Accidental means that person caused some disaster to someone and did not take the path of bhakti, then there has to be some reaction. How Krishna arranged this through the Maya, it's very difficult for us to understand unless they explain. So you can explain, like for an example, there's a Ghostbuster in India, a devotee, Jayabhataka Maharaj's disciple. Very nice. I remember Chitteshwar Prabhu, we were talking about certain things. So yes, it is possible. And you can also see like Bihari Das. Bihari Das, who was carrying Jagannath Das Babaji in Vrindavan. Even in Holidam, there is a ghost. So ghost not necessarily like only non-devotee area. It can be in Holidam too. And Bihari Das was carrying Jagannath Das Babaji for doing parikrama. At one point, before Mangalarti, he saw a big fist and the smell and everything was so overwhelming to him. He says, Baba, can I just get this? Because he has to cook and he has to eat and he knows that he has to carry Jagannath Das Babaji another 1 hour or something. So he said, can I just grab this Mahaprasadam and then I'll carry? Can I just leave you just for a few minutes? So Jagannath Das Babaji knew what is happening. Even though, well, he was not a blind, his eyelid, they say, because he was 146 at the last minute, so I don't know how old he was in Vrindavan. Eyelid was covering his eye, so he looks like he cannot see. So at that time, he said, don't eat anything, you eat after sunrise. That was the best advice he gave. So he got sweet rice, pakora, all these things mentioned. So he pack it nicely with his gamcha, means towel. And he came and picked up Baba and went to Surya Kunda, where is station. And in the morning when sun rise, he opened this. Would you like to know what kind of sweet rice and pakora was there? It was a bones and feather. There was no sweet rice, no pakora, nothing. He was so shocked. He freaked out. And he went to Jagannath Das Babaji, Gurudev, this is bizarre. I had a sweet rice, pakora, all these things, rice, dal, everything mixed in one package. But there is nothing. It's only bones and feather and everything. How is possible? He said, I knew this before you even asked me. But I wanted you to discover and be aware. These are the devotees who commit suicide. Whether it's intentional or accidental, you can say in that sense, but they have to go through a period. So they don't mix with the maybe outside kormi ghost. They mix maybe, I don't know how you word it. You know, it doesn't say devotee ghost. We should not say devotee ghost. But It is there. So whether it's accidental or not, there is nothing called accidental. Everything has a reason, cause and effect. I hope that gives you some idea, Mata.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yes. Yeah.
Jai. Haribo. Mm-hmm.
Is that okay, Mata?
That was excellent, Prabhu. An explanation. Nothing's by accident. That makes me, you know, really more conscious.
Yeah. All very good.
Back in Bhagavatam, in the Brahmana story, it was mentioned like premature death is like kids going before the parents, that is called premature death. Whenever the younger live and the elders still stay, that's enough to say as premature. But now it is happening everywhere.
But that also you cannot say it is accidental, because if that person is not, see, Krishna is the most benevolent judge. He never created anything that has no good reason. There's nothing accidental in that sense.
Yeah, this everything, thought of suicide is also coming from his mind, right, Prabhuji? That is the creation of Krishna itself.
Yes.
Because usually the normal person, they don't get the thought of suicide also. Only with the thinking, the thought is also given from Supreme Personality.
Yes. But when we say Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to be, I hope everybody remember this. You as a soul are initiator, cause. If that soul did not do something horrible, he did not initiate this, sanction or cause, Krishna will never allow. Maya is the instrumental cause. She manifests things. Teenager suicide, or even a six-month-old child died here. Methodist Church minister Michael, he could not explain. And the professor invited me. He said, the Christianity doesn't explain how to accept Jesus as a six-month-old child. Doesn't even know the language. Six-month-old. Got the cancer, leukemia, and died. So how do you say as a human being is the only life? They could not answer anything. Then, of course, that gave us an opportunity to preach. And we did. It was very nice, successful. And we still see, whenever we do program, those professors, they come. They're Western body, but they are attracted to Krishna consciousness. Because we have more vast details explanation scientifically. Not blindly or anything. All scientifically. Nothing is accidental. We just have to know how God sanctioned this. Why? We have to know the cause and effect. So I hope everybody remembers. Soul is the initiating cause. Krishna is the instrumental cause. Sanctioning cause. And Maya is the instrumental cause or ingredient cause. But nothing is accidental. Everything has a cause and effect. We may not see that person, what he did last life or hidingly behind our back. But it is there. Krishna will never sanction anything that soul does not deserve. Absolutely. Krishna is not that kind of. No. Sorry. Go ahead, Mother.
I'm sorry also. Yeah, I need clarification on this last point. I think somebody said that even this idea to commit suicide, did I hear properly that idea comes from Krishna?
Okay, there's a two way. Everything comes from Krishna, but something comes under Jogomaya, through Jogomaya, something comes through Mahamaya. What comes through Jogomaya, through Guru Parampara, that is good, favorable. Krishna directly responsible for that. So in spiritual world, is there an offense? Yes, possible. But Krishna is responsible for that, not devotee. In material world, through Maya, when we create offense amongst us, we are responsible, not Krishna or Maya.
Yes. Yeah, so if a person, let's say a conditioned soul, has the idea to commit suicide, that idea comes why?
Because his obsession to get something forbidding or something that he created it. He obsessed on it. And he's so much into it. Krishna always helps as a super soul. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, it's not a good idea. But he doesn't think like this. He cannot even hear the super soul is guiding. But he's so obsessed. I hate this person. I want to kill him. I cannot tolerate seeing this person alive.
And that can make you want to commit suicide?
Well, if that person is flourishing or something, for many reasons, suicide takes place. I'm just giving you how the soul is responsible for his disaster or whatever suffering going through. Suicide is just another factor. Now, I'll give you a little tips on this because we are talking about this. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur talks about Madhavendra Puri's deepest separation feeling from God. So there is a famous verse, Oi Dina Dayartha Nato He Mathura Nato. So he's crying and speaking like this. And he's crying, I haven't met you, my Lord, what will happen? I'm so desperate. I feel like I'm useless. So now Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, this is needed. This is coming through Jogomaya. And if somebody actually desperately feels separation, then he will be elevated to the spiritual world immediately, spiritual platform. Reverse to this is the depression causes suicide. He also explained this, how it happens. That a soul perverted when, say for an example, because I saw this girl in our village long time back, Mother Phulon Devi. Wow, I still remember the name. Was because I was traumatized. I never saw somebody hanged. I was a little boy and she was in love with one man. He left, made her pregnant and left and went to a big city from the village. She was so depressed. Finally, she hanged herself. So that's why I always was curious. I was talking to Bhanu Maharaj. We were roommate one time when he was a brahmachari. I was a brahmachari. I was talking with him about this. I remember many details. With Subhag Maharaj also, one time I spoke about it. So what I understood from Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavatam, this explanation, that actually the soul who is obsessed on that, it's difficult for them unless devotee intervene. Yes, devotee can divert them. But if devotee don't intervene, they don't have any choice. They will go down, down, down. All of a sudden, from the this planet where it's called Bhutaloka, they literally means anywhere the air passes, they travel. Now, where air passes, I don't know. It's past. Bigger than this planet. So wherever the air passes, and they have their own government, and they have their this Brahma Rakshasa, they show some allurement. What is the allurement? Hey, you are so depressed. Come here. You'll be okay. You'll be happy. They see something that motivates them just to get out of this body. But what they don't see, what is after the entrance door on that planet is the worst disaster. And they have to be literally tortured through the mind. You know, like for example, from here to hell, Prabhupada writes 792,000 miles. Then Prabhupada writes another sentence, but the person, the Jamaduta who takes the dead, departed soul with the rope of their Jantrana Deho to all the way to hell, it's like a very quick few moments, 792,000 miles, but few moments. But the person who is experiencing that journey feels like it never ends. Now, which one is true? Both are true. Person who is going through the hellish road, so much torture, they think is like a million years, it never ends. But then Prabhupada also write that Jamadutas, the taking is only take few moments. Which one is true? Both. So the depression, for them, there is no other way to exit. Unless devotee intervene, as I mentioned, they want to go through and they do. So who is initiating this? The soul. Soul is responsible. We all are responsible for whatever we go through or where we are. So I hope this gives you some idea.
Yes. So I guess, anyway, that's okay. I don't want to go further. But I do have just a couple of other questions. Switching topics, actually. Can you just repeat why Prabhupada said that Bhagavatam 129 was the most important verse?
That when you meet Prabhupada, you have to ask him.